Please open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter number 1. This is lesson number 7. Have you noticed that our passage, which we've read several times now, basically comes down to considering others first and self second? Self has always got to be second if you're going to do it right. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant — that's the right attitude right there, a servant — and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we love the Lord because He first loved us. We love the Lord because of what He's given to us. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So there again, God giving us this great grace, and this perfect peace. Verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. There again, God gifting us not only with salvation, but with all that is necessary to live like a saved man, like a saved woman, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we study once again this passage in 2 Peter, we pray, Lord, that You would give us something that we could receive and apply in our lives, so that we can live the kind of Christian life that You've called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now notice the third verse. We are not called to heaven. That is just our destination. We are not called to walk a gold street or live in a mansion house. That's our destination. There is a calling that precedes, that goes before our arrival in heaven. There's a calling that follows our salvation. And that is a calling to live according to the glory and virtue that is available to and is a should be for all those that are saved and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We sing songs like, "Oh, that will be glory for me," as though it was some distant, far away kind of thing. And the Bible writes of God's glory working in us as a present tense situation that we should be tying into and should be appropriating in our lives right now. And then virtue, he speaks of this as, this is our calling. You know, in the average church, people make a big fuss when somebody says, "Well, I'm called to preach," or "I'm called to be a missionary," or I'm called to sing. I'm called to do this. I'm called to do that. Guess what? You're called to virtue. You're called to virtue. I mean, hey, really, nobody cares that you're a preacher if you're not righteous. Nobody cares that you're a missionary if you're not holy. Nobody cares that you can sing if you don't love others. Our calling is not, "I've got some elevated status because of the job that I've got to do for Jesus." That's not it. Every one of us is called to live a virtuous life. Every one of us is called to live a life that manifests the glory of God in the individual that He has saved. And so to make this possible, he says in verse number 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And we've talked about the fact that we could not get free from sin and those habits. We could not escape from this world system that had such a hold upon our thinking, upon our living. When Jesus Christ saved us, He set us free from that. In a moment of time, He delivered us from the hold and the sway that sin had over us as unbelievers. Now, in verse number 8, as you skip down, yes, we are skipping down here, it says, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And we saw last week that God has given us this knowledge, verse 2, it is ours to possess, verse number 3, but that doesn't guarantee that we will be fruit-bearing and successful Christians. And the Bible says in this 8th verse that I can be barren in the knowledge of the Lord, which I have. I have the knowledge of the Lord. But I can be unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord if some other things are not in me. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, the same things we've discussed, is blind. Here is a saved man living without sight. Here's a saved woman walking without spiritual sight. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. People all the time want to argue about election, argue about calling. Come on, in this context, what is your calling? What is your election? It is to live in the glory and virtue of Jesus Christ right now, today. Now, it's a curious phrase, and I'm going to be real careful here because I don't want to be hurtful to anyone that's struggling physically or has a family member that is with these matters. But verse 9 says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off." Now you understand that a person may be legally blind because their vision is just greatly impaired, and yet still they can make out some things, okay? Enough shape and color, enough basic objects to still be able to get around a little bit, but not freely and not without assistance. And look, there are many a saved man sitting in our churches and many a saved woman sitting in our churches, and they can see enough. They can see enough. They can see enough to get around a little bit in this world and in this life. But their spiritual discernment and their spiritual understanding and their spiritual vision is so hindered and so faulty that somebody's got to lead them around by the hand. Now we need the preaching of the Word of God. But if you don't add to your Christian life the things that we're about to read about in this passage again, your Christian life was not going to get any farther than what the preacher can take you. Okay? Also, we need Christian friends to watch us and to keep an eye out on us and to rebuke us and to exhort us when we need it. We all need that. I need that. You need that. But you've got to get to the place where you can live for God on your job when your preacher's not there to tell you what to do, and in your house when your Christian friends aren't there to keep you in line. And we need to get to the place where we don't have our church attitude and our outside of church attitude. They should be one and the same. You know, and we don't want to have our church vocabulary and our outside church vocabulary. Sure, we can make out like good Christians here. It's easy to do that here, isn't it? I mean, because we've got people who can take us by the arm and say, no, go here, do this, do that, say this, say that. But there's a certain blindness that many, many saved people experience. And if you don't believe that, watch how many people there are who are, they are saved, but they stumble right back into the liquor cabinet. They're saved, but they stumble right into Hollywood. They're saved, but they stumble right into dirty jokes and profanity. They're saved, but they keep running right into gossip and talebearing. They are saved, but they keep running into the habit of bad-mouthing and people behind their back. And, you know, they're saved, but they got enough eyesight to where they can make it to church. And they got enough eyesight to get through a song service, but they sure can't drive that Christian car. And they sure can't function independent of somebody watching their every single move. How quickly they stumble and lose their way. So the Bible does not want us living like we're blind when, hey, perfect vision is available. The Lord does not want us living like we've never been set free from sin when perfect freedom from that is available. The Lord does not want us living as though we are barren when He's given us everything we need to be fruitful. So let's take a look at these verses. The ones that we skipped over are the necessary additions to salvation, things we are commanded to add to our faith, to our salvation. And these are not up to God. These are up to you. They're up to me. The Bible says in verse 5, and beside this, 2 Peter 1:5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Okay, now, of course, you had to have faith or else you'd never have gotten saved. But you have got to add virtue to that faith. You have to do it. You say, well, I'm saved. All right, great. Glad to hear it. That helps you when you die. But it doesn't help anybody that you know in the meantime. So he says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. You know, some people, they've got a Bible, but that's it. They've just got a Bible. They don't know the first thing about it. They're not about to learn the first thing about it. They're saved, and they just have no interest in the Word of God. You say, well, why is that? We'll be talking about that. We'll get there. Let's go on, though. Add to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Okay, we talked about that. This is a person, they're saved, but they just can't control their tongue. They don't have the self-control. They can't control their emotions. They can't control their appetites. They cannot control their lusts. And he says, and to temperance, patience. You know, you don't have to get everything you want the moment that you want it. Everybody doesn't have to do things just the way that you want them to do it. You know, your way is not always right. You might have to have some patience with some other people in their ways. Patience. And to patience, godliness. Godliness. I wish that everybody who said that they were saved bore some resemblance to the Savior. That would sure be nice. Verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. We sure could use a dose of that. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now watch these words that are absolutely necessary if you're going to be more than saved, but you are going to answer and respond to God's call to living a life of glory and virtue. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence. That's the word we're going to focus in on this morning. Giving all diligence. And then look at 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You know what the Latin root for the English word diligence is? To love earnestly and to choose. To love earnestly and to choose. You know what makes the difference between, well, I'll give you an example here, difference between an amateur and a professional golfer? One man loved that game, that sport, if you call it that. He loved it enough to devote his entire life to improving his skills. You know what makes the difference between a skilled musician and somebody that can just, they can play chopsticks on the piano again and again and again and again and again? Diligence. One loved the craft and chose to devote themselves thereunto, and the other really didn't have an interest. But you know what makes the difference between, for example, another example, the muscle man, the bodybuilder, and the other man who goes to the gym sometimes? One looked at the weights and said, I sure would like to be in shape. And the other one devoted every single spare minute to the building of his body. So you're getting the picture here of this diligence, this word diligence. Do you know why some people know the Bible? They know the Bible, and other people don't, when they could. they had the same opportunities, in other words. Well, it's because some people chose to love the Word of God, and some people didn't. Do you know why some people learn to love the Christian life, loving God and loving others? And some people, hey, it's just all they can do to drag themselves to church once in a while. It's strictly a matter of choice. That's all it is. You know why some people have a great prayer life and other people have absolutely no interest in even coming to a prayer meeting? They don't love the Lord. Now, I'm not trying to insult anybody. If you love something, that thing will get your time. You're going to give it your time. It gets your attention. It gets your energy. It causes you to lay aside anything that would get in the way of spending time with that thing that you love. These fellows are going through life and, you know, they got these young guys, they got ball playing to do, and they've got places to go, they've got classes to study for, they've got activities to participate in, they've got friends that they like to hang out with, and then they meet her. Ooh, look at her. And if she's not interested in the ball game, it doesn't matter anymore. If good grades are on one side of the balance and sneaking another 15 minutes on the telephone with her, that is on the other side of the balance, well, then the A grade is going to become a C grade. Why? Oh, I'm in love. Well, so they say, hey, your car's been broke for a while. Aren't you going to get that thing fixed? No. Why? Well, I bought her some stuff. No money. Look, you don't have to think about that situation. In that situation, you don't have to go and tell that boy, hey, you better spend time with that girl. He's going to do it because he wants to. You don't have to tell that boy, hey, did you call that girl? You don't have to tell that boy, hey, treat her right. I tell you what, when that heart gets going toward that girl, everything else follows. It's put aside. That's right. Man, when you see some guy get wrapped up in some kind of hobby or something that really, really interests him, listen, you don't have to tell a football fan, for example, what time the game is on. They know what time it comes on. You know, well, let me check the newspaper and see what team is playing today. They don't need to check a newspaper. They already know in advance. They got it texted to them. They got it memorized. They had it sent to them on the iPhone, BlackBerry, Android thing as soon as it was possible. instant message. You know, here's a list of the football players that ended up in jail this week. They already know that. You don't have to say. Now listen, people, there's a game on tonight, and I expect you to watch it. You better watch it. No need for that. They're going to watch it. You know why? Because they want to. They're in love with it. All right, so hear this. See, you know what time church is if you love the Lord. You know how to get there and not get somewhere else if you love the Lord. You know where Hosea is in the Bible. You know where 2 Corinthians is. You know what the book of Ephesians is about if you love the Lord. Why? Because what you love earnestly is what you choose to pursue. It is what you choose to be interested in. It's what you choose to devote your time and your energy to. It's what you choose to cut everything else out to make way for that thing. And our problem, brothers, our problem, sisters, is not a lack of education. It's not a lack of opportunity. No. It's not a lack of calling or supernatural ability either. It's just a lack of love for spiritual things, and a love for, and on the other end, it's a love for temporal things or the things of this world more than spiritual things, and that's all it comes down to. That's all it is. Diligence. You could have more virtue. If you wanted more virtue, you could have more knowledge of the Scriptures. If you wanted more knowledge of the Scriptures, you could have more patience. If you wanted more patience, you could have more godliness. If you wanted more godliness, you could have more brotherly kindness. If you wanted more brotherly kindness, you really could. You know what you'll find out if you decide one day that you're going to buy some land and you're going to grow some vegetables, be a sort of a farmer? You're going to find out that those things don't grow by themselves. It requires some diligence to grow those things. You got to break up that fallow ground. You've got to keep it loosened up, and then you got to plant the seeds and water that ground every day. And after just a little while, you're going to have to start battling the weeds and the bugs that are going to try to choke out or eat your plants. And it's going to be, it will be a constant battle to protect the few vegetables that you're going to get from your farming efforts. Or, if you decide that's just too much work, you might decide, well, I'll be a cattle farmer instead. I mean, after all, look at that. Meat is expensive. So, if you buy your own cows, you can save a lot of money, right? I mean, you look at a cow. When you look at a cow, you probably see 150 kilos of steak standing there on four legs. But the thing you don't realize is that's not all meat on that cow. I mean, when you pay for meat at the grocery store, you are getting all meat. Okay, when you buy a cow, sure, there is meat on the cow, But half of it is stomach and hoofs and horns and whatever else they make hot dogs out of. that is not a walking 300-pound steak there. And when you go to the store to buy steak, you don't have to buy fence and medicine and stuff to get rid of the worms and the parasites and stuff to make that thing grow bigger and faster. And hey, if you try to do, you think you can do without that stuff, your cows are going to look like those seven lean cows that came up out of the river Egypt in Pharaoh's dream. and then you got to buy hay for the cow to eat and a lot of other stuff you don't even think about when you had the good idea, I'm going to be a cattle farmer, raise some cows. And you know what you're going to learn after a few months of this? You learn that you're not going to raise your own meat unless you are willing to be diligent about it. You've got to work at that thing. Really, do you want somebody to build your house who's not diligent? Do you want to hire somebody to maintain your property or your landscaping who's not diligent? Do you want to hire somebody to work for you in your business that you've invested your life savings into who's not diligent? I don't think so. You know who succeeds in the business world? Diligent people. You know who succeeds in the educational world? Diligent people. Do you know who gets the good grades and not the bad grades? Diligent people. Do you know who has good marriages and not sorry marriages? Because that takes work too, doesn't it? It's diligent people. You've got to be diligent in your marriage. You know who will learn the Bible? People who love it. Do you know who will amount to something in their Christian life? People who want to. Do you know who helps God build great churches and small communities? Diligent people. That's what it comes down to. All right, diligence means steady application in business of any kind. Constant effort to accomplish what is undertaken. Exertion of body or mind without delay. Due attention. You say, I need patience. All right, well, when are you going to start working on it? You know, people ask for patience all the time thinking God's just going to say, okay, here you go, you're patient now. Doesn't work that way. You've got to work on it, you know. So you need to work on it. Start now. Don't wait till tomorrow, you know. You say, I need patience. Well, why are you so unhappy with the person who did you wrong then? That's helping you become more patient. You need patience. That's what it takes to get it. People doing things to you that you don't appreciate. Why are you unhappy that the thing didn't go your way? That has to happen to you if you want to get more patience. So do you want it or not? You know? Quit delaying. Boy, it sure is good to go to a church where they teach the Bible. I want to learn the Bible. Well, you don't have to wait until 10:30 or 10:40 Friday morning to learn the Bible. Okay? You can learn some things this afternoon. You can learn some tonight. You can learn some tomorrow morning. You can learn some the next afternoon. Don't wait till Friday morning. Steady application is in the definition. Constant effort. Exertion without delay. Don't wait till next Friday to study some more. Diligence. Is it fair to say that the problem is not God? It's not the Holy Spirit's fault. It's not all of these circumstances. It's not what this person or that person did. Come on. If there's something you want, if there's something you really want, you will get through any obstacle to get it. If there's something you desire, hey, there's nothing that can be thrown in your way that would stop you from going after it. The Lord said, do you want to be a fruitful Christian? Well, let's see some diligence then. Come to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Sometimes there's a situation where one of our church members leads a man to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And that young man comes to church. We teach him. We train him. We even help him materially. But then after a while, that young man disappears from church without any explanation. And then after a couple of years, you meet that young man by chance. And when you get to talking with him, you find out that even though he doesn't have any higher education, he's not only now holding a full-time job, but he even got promoted recently to a place of authority on his job. And that's good. Good for him. Happy for him. And you also learn, as you keep talking to this young man, that he has managed to stay married when many people in this world couldn't do it. Well, good for him. Happy for him. That young man has brought two children into the world, and at least to some measure and to some extent, he's caring for them. And that's more than a lot of people have done. Now, let me ask you something. That's obviously a person who has been diligent in keeping that part of his life right, right? And so my question is, if that man can get a job, keep a job, get a promotion on a job, get a wife, keep a wife, and take care of a wife, bring children into the world and provide for those children, you tell me why he can't stay in church, learn the Bible, get rid of the drugs, get rid of the drinking, get rid of the habits, and get in here and be something for Jesus Christ. I'll tell you why. He doesn't want to. It's not a lack of Holy Spirit. It's not a lack of supernatural gift. It's not that things just didn't go well in his life. He diligently pursued a job opportunity. He diligently pursued a woman. He diligently pursued a desire to start a family, to have children. There they are. They've got clothes on. There they are. They're well fed. There she is. She's got a house to live in. There he is. He's got a job to go to. He could do what he wanted to do. He did it. He did what he wanted to do. So why isn't he in church teaching those children about Jesus so that they don't have to die and go to hell? Why isn't he in church teaching that wife about the Lord so she can be a good wife and a godly woman, and he can be a good husband and a godly man instead of just muddling through this thing? I'll tell you why. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to. Do you know why you're here and he's not? You want to be. You know why some will be here Monday night and some won't? They want to be. You know why some will go out witnessing this week and some won't? They want to. See, God has given you everything that you need. You're not lacking what you need, but he cannot give you desire. That's on you. He can't give you appetite. They were interviewing Oprah one time, and Oprah said that she was addicted to food. Addicted to food. Who isn't? I mean, come on, how long can you say no? People say, "Hi, my name is Bob, and I've been 13 weeks without a drink." at those AA meetings, right? That's good. Good news. It's been 18 years since I've been high on drugs. Well, that's good. That's good. How long have you been without food? Everybody's addicted to food. Come on. But you know what Oprah's problem is? You know what your problem is, Oprah? You want to run America. And you can't even control the lust of your own flesh. Now let me tell you something. If you can become a billionaire, if you can run your own business, your own TV show, your own magazine, and get your own president as well, don't tell me you can't put the fork down. Doesn't make sense. And you know why she runs a magazine? Because she wants to. Do you know why she's on TV? Because she wants to be. Do you know why she's addicted to food? Because she wants to be. Come on. We got this whole mindset in our society. Whose fault is it? Who do I blame? What's my excuse? God says, be diligent. Get to church. Read your Bible. Stop sinning. Forgive people. Love the brethren. Pray. God's given you everything you need, but there's something you've got to bring to the table. Desire, love, appetite, want to. And nobody can do that for you. Nobody can do that for you. Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, says this. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Now look, here it is. Well, I'm saved. Great. I know the Lord. That's good, great. But hey, guess what? That didn't keep David from another man's wife. He knew the Lord, didn't he? That didn't keep Lot from defiling his own daughters. Come on. I know the Lord. I just believe as long as you know the Lord in your heart, .. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say as long as you've got the Lord in your heart, He's just going to make everything go to His glory and make everything go to virtue in your life. You know, He said, you've got a heart and I want you to keep it. You keep your heart. The Bible says, young man, I'm telling you, young man, put your face in the Bible and not in those dirty magazines. That's what he says. Young lady, I'm telling you, put your face in the Bible and not in those romance novels. It's your heart. Fall in love with what is glorious. Fall in love with what is virtuous. Stay away from the rest of it. I tell you what I don't understand. It's got to be money or something, I guess. But you know what I don't understand? I don't understand these politicians. You've seen it. They get up in front of these microphones and they tell the world about their affairs and their illegitimate babies and their rendezvous with prostitutes. And their wife is standing right there beside them. Why doesn't she tell him, you want somebody to stand up there with you? You get the one that you've been paying. Get her to stand up there with you. I'm not going to do it. And then up there in front of everyone, he says, I just want to say, I really love my wife. You liar. You're a liar. If you loved your wife, you'd have been diligent about getting home to her and not to some hotel with another woman. Amen. Well, I just want to say I'm sorry to my family. I love my family more than anything in the world. You're lying. If you loved your family more than anything in the world, you wouldn't have dragged them through the sewer like you did. Amen. Sir, do you have a wife? Keep your heart with all diligence. Not when things start getting shaky and you say, oh boy, I better tighten up. I better start paying attention to some details here. Things aren't looking too good. Not going good at home. Amen. Keep your heart. It's your responsibility. You decide what you read. You decide what you watch. You decide what you're going to listen to. You decide who you will hang out with. You decide how to spend your time. You decide what's important to you. That's what God said. He didn't say, just get saved and I'll keep your heart. Don't worry. He said, if you get saved, I will give you the power to refuse sin. I'll give you the freedom from sin. I'll give you victory over sin. But you're going to have to choose to take that victory. You're going to have to choose to walk in that freedom I'm providing for you. It's a choice. It's up to you. Look at Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews 6. Let's say you go down to Fahil and you walk along the brick pathway that follows the coast there, and you see a man who used to go to church, but now he doesn't because, well, he tells you why. He gives you some reasons. He says that he had some hard times in his life. Well, who walking along that whole pathway, who hasn't had some hard times in their life? And then he tells you as you continue walking along that he's been lied about. Well, who hasn't been lied about? Not only that, you find out he's been the subject and the victim of some very cruel gossip. Who hasn't been? But then, walking along that brick pathway, you see smiling, happy, and full of joy, handing out gospel tracts to some people who have had some hard times in their life. Again, who hasn't? Smiling, serving Jesus, handing out gospel tracts are some people who've had some lies told about them in their life. Who hasn't? Smiling, serving Jesus, handing out gospel tracts are some people who've had some terrible gossip told about them. Who hasn't been? Who hasn't had that happen? Now, so my question is, why is one man walking along out of church, out of fellowship, out of the Bible, and bringing up his children to love this world, to live in this world, and to be destroyed by this world? And he comes in contact with somebody who's serving God, happy in the Lord, raising their children for Jesus, and there they are, face to face. It can't be about those circumstances, those excuses he gave. It can't be about the bad times. It can't be about the lies. It can't be about the gossip. Somebody wanted to live for Jesus. And somebody wanted to walk away. That's all it comes down to. That man is saved. He's got the same Holy Spirit that the people speaking up for Jesus have. That man is saved. He's got the same opportunity that the people standing up for Jesus have. That man is saved. He's got the same chance to raise his kids for Jesus as those who are out there witnessing have. He chose the diligent pursuit of bitterness, the diligent pursuit of unforgiveness, the diligent pursuit of it's all about me. And that's where he chose to go. And others chose the diligent pursuit of love and of grace and of long-suffering and of I'm going on anyway, no matter what they did to me. And of, it's not about me anyway, it's about the Lord. You got to make some choices. And your choice is going to be in the direction of what you love. Do you love self? It's easy to choose self. Do you love the Lord? It's also easy to love the Lord. Do you love the world? Easy to choose the world. Do you love righteousness? It's easy to choose righteousness. And that's why the Lord said, you better keep your heart. Think about the man Lot. And we'll get to him later in 2 Peter. But it might be a while. Lot escapes a city that fire and brimstone are raining upon because of their sexual immorality. His wife turns into a pillar of salt because her heart is bound to the immorality of the city that she's leaving behind. Does Lot build an altar and worship God after those things happen? No. Does Lot say, boy, I tell you, that sure was a close one. Boy, when you go through a tough time like that, it sure gets you close to God. No. Before you turn the one page in your Bible, Lot is engaged in immorality more debased than what God just burned that city for. And you know why? Because getting scared won't matter. Getting deliverance won't matter. Having a close brush with death won't matter. Having a miraculous intervention of God in your life, that won't matter. If you don't keep your heart, nothing is going to make a difference in your life. People say, please pray for my brother-in-law. He just had a bad wreck, and I know this is going to draw him close to the Lord. Don't count on it. Or pray for my mama. She just had an operation. I think this is what it's going to take to bring her to Jesus. Don't bet on it. You know, people that love the Lord, they go through physical problems, and they still love the Lord. And people who don't love the Lord, they go through physical problems. And you say, well, you would think that that would have made a difference. It doesn't. You know why? Because it's about the heart. It's about your heart. And that's why it's not going to do you any good to sit there and wait for some miracle or to wait for God to show you some sign or wait for some intervention in your life or wait for some circumstances to happen. It's about your heart. And God gave that responsibility to you. Hebrews 6, verse number 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now there are some people who are working because they love the Lord. There are some people who are laboring because they love the Lord. There are some people who are ministering to the saints because they love the Lord. The Holy Spirit says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. You know what that means? Sitting here and saying, well, I'm not a preacher. That has nothing to do with it. Sitting here saying, well, I'm not a missionary. That has nothing to do with it. He says, I want every one of you to labor for the Lord because you love him, to work for the Lord because you love him, to minister to the saints because you love them. That's what what we all should be giving our life to. You go to these funerals or memorial services. You know what troubles me so much about funerals? It's not just that somebody's lost their life. It's sitting there, and as I listen to the family and I listen to the friends and I listen to people get up and talk, I think to myself, there is nothing this person did that it's going to matter 5 minutes after he's gone. You live 75 years, and all your friends can say is that you caught a big fish one time? You live 75 years, and all your friends can say is what a beautiful flower garden you were growing? You live 75 years, and all we can do is show the sweater that you knitted? Come on, if you're going to give your life to something, don't get to the end of your life and all we can do is bore people with the insignificance of the things that you pursued. Let us be able to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to heaven because he told me about Jesus. My children are saved because she brought me to church. I have eternal life because they came to my house and they read the Bible to me. Do something with your life. But it's so sad. That's what I hate, those funerals like that. When I read the obituary page in the newspaper, you know what I want to know? How long did they live? What church did they belong to? And what did they do that the family wanted everybody to know about? She died at 87. She was a great card player. That's it? 87 years and all she could do is slap some cards on the table? Come on, sister. Teach some children about Jesus. Bring some neighbors to church. Say some prayers that are going to get some missionaries out there on the field and some souls out of hell. Do something that matters. Well, they lived to be 84 years old, and I tell you, he was a great man in the community. Once a year, he put a bucket on his head and drove a little car around in circles in the parades. Come on, brother. Come on, sir. Do something. Do something that's going to last 10 days after you're gone. Do something that will make your time on this earth having been worth the effort and the expense and the trouble that God and man put into you. Be diligent about something that matters. Be diligent about something that's going to result in God's being glorified and God's virtue being spread abroad and passed on to others. Be diligent. Be diligent. All right, let's go back to 2 Peter. We'll wrap this thing up. 2 Peter. Hopefully some of you haven't wrapped it up already. All right, so watch what happens. Verse number five. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So if I diligently add these things, look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. All right, so watch what happens. The pacifist says, well, you know, I can't bear any fruit. It's just the Lord. Only the Lord can bear fruit. And I can't do anything for Jesus. It has to be the Holy Spirit in me. And that's absolutely true once you get there. But you've got to get yourself there by adding virtue and adding patience and adding godliness. No, you can't bear fruit. Only the Holy Spirit can bear fruit. But he's not going to bear fruit in you if you don't add these things to your life. It's not a passive thing, you understand. It's an active thing on your part that causes promised outcome. I'll give you an example. I have an automobile. I had to park it far away this morning. It's sitting way over there by the Orlando gym this morning. Now, that car, it can get me from here to Saudi Arabia or wherever I want to go. If I go open the door, turn the key, keep that thing maintained, pay to put petrol in it, steer it, drive it, I mean, and then I didn't get me to Saudi Arabia. Yeah, the car got me to Saudi Arabia, but I can't go out there and just sit in the car and say, okay, car, you take over now. See how far that gets you. You know, the Holy Spirit can make you like Jesus Christ. But if you just sit there in front of your 46-inch LED megapixel super-duper high-definition 3D flat-screen TV, and you get excited because it's so realistic, and you want to talk about realistic, you ought to talk to real people sometime. I mean, man, they're like 3D, and they move, and they're so real you could almost touch them. It's amazing. Honey, come over here. Look how realistic this TV picture is. Hello? Why don't you look at how realistic I am? Oh, boy. Do you want it? Do you want to know the Bible? Do you want to be a loving Christian? Do you want to be a friend to sinners? Do you want to be a blessing to God's people? Do you want to be a virtuous Christian? Do you want the glory of God to be manifest in your life? It's all right there for the taking. But if you don't want it, God will not force it on you. He called us to be diligent. Be diligent. Stop waiting for a miracle. You've had one. Stop waiting for a revelation from God. Here it is. You've got it in your lap. Okay? Stop waiting for a door to open. Think about it. How often do you wait for a door to open in other kinds of things, you know? Where are you going today? I'm going to Avenues Mall. Well, I don't know about that. Why don't you just sit here and wait for an open door? Why don't you wait for the Lord to lead you to Avenues Mall? You know, we never have to wait for a sign to do what we want to do. You get it? I mean, we never have to get a revelation to do what we want to do. Man, if you ever get to where you want to serve the Lord, He's not going to have to show you anything. Just do it. Amen. All right, diligence, a necessary ingredient. Don't leave home without it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for showing us this morning that things don't happen automatically. They start from our heart, and we've got to have a desire in our heart to do the things that are right, to do the things that you've shown us are available to us if we will just be diligent to and apply ourselves towards those goals, those godly goals, those goals of becoming a Christian that makes a difference in this world, a person who after we're gone will still be remembered for the eternal benefits that we shared with others. Help us, Lord, to live our lives with those goals in mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.